Hello everyone and welcome back to a brand new episode of Getting Spooky with Knox. I am your host Knox and happy Halloween. It's technically tomorrow, but I update on Fridays. I hope y'all have a wonderful Halloween and it's filled with all kinds of wonderful frights and scares. So let's get into the episode, shall we? Before we get into the urban legends portion, I want to share some history on Halloween. Halloween started with the Celts and was a holiday known as Samhain. Some people celebrate Samhain on my birthday, which is November 1st. And a little tidbit about me is that I actually do celebrate Samhain, and I celebrate it on my birthday just because it's kind of nice to have a holiday on my birthday. So that's a little fun fact about me. The tradition began when people would light bonfires and dress up as a way to scare off ghosts. People believe that the veil between the worlds is the thinnest and that souls of the dead can cross over. During the 18th century, Pope Gregory III made November 1st known as All Saints' Day, and the day before was known as All Hallows' Eve, and then later Halloween. Ireland, the UK, and France all celebrated their new year on November 1st. It was the last day of summer, and soon the harvest would begin. And now that that little bit of history is out of the way, let's get into the urban legends. Number 1. Ghosts. As I mentioned before, people believe that on Halloween, the veil between the worlds was the thinnest, and that the ghosts and spirits could return to our realm of existence. To combat these spirits from causing damages to crops and others, they would light bonfires and dress up to scare them off. That's where today's celebrations of dressing up come from. If you could trick the ghosts into thinking you were something you're not, it would ward them off and you could protect your home from their tricks of the evening until the veil between the worlds returned to normal once more. Number 2. Bloody Mary. This isn't necessarily a Halloween only urban legend, but some people do like to do it on Halloween, and since the veil, as I've said, is the thinnest, it makes sense. And I've actually got a story to go along with this one, but let me tell you about Bloody Mary first. It's based on Queen Mary I, who burnt 100 Protestants at the stake. The legend goes that if you go into a bathroom and light a candle and say her name 3 times, she'll appear in the mirror. Some legends say that she'll kill you, while others just say that she's just there to frighten you. Some say that she looks like a corpse covered in blood, hence the name Bloody Mary. When I was a child, I once went into the bathroom at my old school, and the girls were trying to do it there, which, not smart, but alright. Mind you, the bathroom had windows. They were very high, like the walls were very high, and you would need like a really tall ladder to peer into the bathroom, so it was fine. And it was around lunchtime, so not good conditions if you wanted to summon Bloody Mary, but again, we were like grade schoolers, so it was a thing. But I remember after that being afraid and telling my grandma about it. She then went into the bathroom and supposedly did the ritual to prove to me that Bloody Mary wasn't real. And that's kind of just my little story about Bloody Mary. It still to this day freaks me out and I will not do it. And if people insist on doing that, I will leave. You will not catch me trying to summon. Nope. My ass is gone. Number 3, the dead body Halloween decoration that isn't a decoration at all. This is a short one, but it is something that I saw come up and I have heard about this myself. Excuse me. And I have heard about this myself, so I thought I would include it here. Some people say that some of the decorations that people use are actual dead bodies and not just the plastic mannequins you can buy at Target or wherever you get your decorations from. Some people have come forward and said that when looking at what they thought were harmless decorations were actual bodies, but more than likely, it's just an urban legend and it's not true. Now, I'm not saying that someone could have murdered someone and then put out a body as a, you know, decoration until people kind of realize, hey, that's a real human being, but it's just an urban legend more than likely. I didn't see any stories of this actually happening. I think it was just a scary story to tell kids to freak them out a little bit more whenever they saw Halloween decorations, as most of these legends basically are, scary campfire stories to tell to freak the younger generation out. So that's all it is. Number four, razor blades in the candy. Most parents worry that the candy that their kids receive on Halloween has poison or drugs or razor blades in it from sick individuals that want to harm innocent children. This is mainly just an urban legend that is a cautionary tale to make sure kids stay safe. The only case of this actually happening was in 1974 in Texas, but the child's dad was the one that poisoned him and not some stranger that he had gotten candy from. I would recommend checking your candy though, because one time I ate a bad Kit Kat and had food poisoning on my birthday, but I don't think it was because of some nefarious plot to poison kids. Plus, my friend got a Kit Kat from the same house and she was fine, so it was just a one-off coincidence that that had happened. Number five, jack-o'-lanterns. They come from an Irish myth about a man named Stingy Jack. The story goes that Jack invited the devil himself out for a drink, but when it came time to pay, Jack didn't want to. Jack then tricked the devil into turning into a coin so that he could pay for their drinks. The devil did as Jack asked, and wouldn't you know, Jack still didn't pay for the drinks. Instead, he stuck the devil in his pocket next to a silver cross, which prevented the devil from changing back. Well, Jack freed the devil eventually, but made the devil promise that he wouldn't do anything to hurt Jack, and if he did, or if Jack died, the devil couldn't claim his soul. Jack then tricked the devil once more. He had the devil climb into a tree to get a piece of fruit. While the devil was up there, Jack carved a cross into the trunk and made the devil swear that he would not bother him for 10 more years. He agreed, and when Jack died, God wouldn't let him into heaven, and the devil didn't collect Jack's soul, and now he wanders in the darkness with only a piece of coal to light his way. The Irish then began to refer to him as Jack of the Lantern or Jack-o'-Lantern. They carved faces into turnips and potatoes and put them in the windows to ward off Stingy Jack and any other evil spirits that may be lurking about. When immigrants came to America and discovered the pumpkin, that is when they began carving the faces into them to help ward off Jack and the spirits. And that's all I have for you today for the urban legends. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to request an urban legends, true crime, paranormal event, mythological monsters, or secret societies episode, then you can email me at getspookywithme@gmail.com, message me on Twitter at SpookyKnox, message me on my Facebook, Getting Spooky with Knox, or message me through my website, which is linked in both my Twitter and Facebook profiles. Next week, we're back with a new true crime episode on Ted Bundy. Before we go, I want to read you a poem that is similar to "Twas the Night Before Christmas," but this one is simply known as "Twas the Night Before Someone." I believe it is by Marjana Giddings and was written in 1993. If it was not, please let me know so that I may give proper credits to the creator of this little rhyme, but it goes like this. 'Twas the night before sowin', and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except for my spouse. The incense it burned in our cauldron so black, for witchcraft and magic we'd a wonderful knack. The circle was drawn with the athame of power, the guardians were called to each quarter tower. The lord and lady attended our rite in wonder and glory and power and might. The dearly departed came as our guests to live once again after their rest. We bid them goodbye with a tear in our eye, such a lovely presence of loved ones so nigh. The candles danced in the flickering light. With the great rite, we bid them all a good night. The guardians thanked have all sped away. The lord and lady thanked for the day. The night before sowing, God's blessed this house, a circle of wonder round me and my spouse. Have a great week, and I'll talk to y'all next time. Bye.